Hey everybody, what's going on? Welcome to episode number 10 of the Irreverent Babble Podcast. This is Cody Kelly and hey Neil, you okay? Okay.
This is Neil Huntley. Sorry, it's VBS week at church, and I think we're on day four of VBS.
Yeah.
I'm a little tired, Cody. Oh, this is Neil Huntley. Hey everybody. Hey listeners. Hey, German fella, woman. Hey, what's up? I'm awake now.
Hey,
I'm
you're awake now? Well, yeah, but hey, this is episode number 10. We finally reached double digits.
Really? This is number 10?
This is number 10.
So this is Reverent Babble X.
Yeah, Reverent Babble X edition.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. We finally reached double digit episodes on the podcast. Unless you want to count the little episode that we had for the week you're on vacation as an episode.
Nah, we won't count that. That's just a little preview, remember? If you want to be technical, it's 10.5, but this is the 10th official episode.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, I can't believe we hadn't run out of stuff to talk about yet. I mean,
yeah, I know.
What a worse time to start a sports podcast during a pandemic.
Yeah, I know.
And we're finally getting sports back this week.
We are
finally
getting sports
back.
Which
we've had some sports, okay?
Yeah, we have.
We've had NASCAR, we've had MLS, and hey, guess what? I'm going to talk some soccer today, Cody.
Really? You're going to talk some soccer today?
Yeah, but I won't get into it too much because I don't have too much to say just yet because I'm newly into this soccer fandom that I developed about 11:30 this morning.
Okay.
But just letting you know. But it's, number 10. Wow, this is awesome, man. What's new with you this week?
Well, for me, this past weekend, I celebrated graduating high school.
That's right. Yeah, you had your graduation party this week, didn't you? Or this past weekend, excuse me.
Uh-huh. Yes, I did. It was a lot of fun. Like, I really enjoyed it. I was honestly surprised. I was kind of surprised of how long some people stayed.
Yeah, I was talking to your dad Sunday morning. I think it was Sunday morning at breakfast, at men's breakfast.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
That's it. Because, we left early because we had Graham and everything. And plus, we didn't know
right.
when the rain was going to stop. And then it was our luck. It stopped raining as soon as we left. But I asked your dad, I said, y'all had a garage full last night. He said, yeah. He said, some of them stayed till almost 9 o'clock. I think that's what he said.
Yeah.
I said, man, I'd have been wore out.
It was honestly a pretty big big amount of people there too. Like, I didn't honestly think there would be as many as there were. Well, like, I'm pretty sure when we counted, it was like pretty close to 40.
Yeah, we had a lot. We had a lot, and we did a good job, hanging outside for a little bit.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Then, we couldn't help but go into the garage,
right.
When it started raining, when it was downpour.
Oh,
by
yeah.
the way, folks, Cody cursed his own party. Because we got there and it was thundering and lightning.
Yeah.
And Cody said, don't worry, it never rains on this street. And then it
But poured. I wasn't wrong, though, because for the last month, it maybe rained once a week at best. And then, of course, on the day where we actually
poured.
Have something planned outside.
Niagara Falls on yesteryear's lane or whatever this place is called. That was crazy. But I'm glad that you had a good party, man. I appreciate you inviting us again. That was awesome.
Oh, sure, man. Absolutely. I'm just happy that you and Amber and Graham were able to make it and that you... And that you all hopefully had a pretty good time. I was honestly a little bit concerned because some of the people that were at the party I hadn't seen in a while.
Right, right.
And I know from different places. So I was kind of wondering how all that was going to mesh together.
Oh,
but
yeah,
it seemed to go pretty well.
It went smooth, man. And when you're a host of a party, you got to make time to go talk to everybody because you got to be glad they came. Because I know some of them came from a pretty good ways away too, right? We came from 5 minutes down the road, but other ones had a pretty good drive,
Yeah.
So that was awesome to see. And you did a great job going around talking to everybody. And
oh, thank you.
It was awesome. Y'all threw a good party. And I appreciate that.
Oh, well, thank you, man. I appreciate that. So, man, what's new with you?
Well, like I said, we've had vacation Bible school this week.
Yeah.
We're on day four. We always start on Sunday night, which always throws my whole week off because I think...
Right, because you're...
I'm like a day ahead of
myself.
It's
like a Monday night or something.
Yeah, because last night we were sitting in large group, in the FLC in our Family Life Center. And I looked at Amber, I said, I just realized today's Tuesday. I thought it was Wednesday the whole time yesterday.
Exactly.
I've been a day ahead. But, y'all know usually we record these on Tuesdays, but we weren't able to yesterday, so we're recording today, and we'll still have it out on time, it seems like. And it kind of helps being a day later because we've got some fresh stuff to talk about that'll be relevant tomorrow and reverent, I guess, tomorrow too. But VBS has been great. Even without advertising and having to go by all the distancing guidelines and things like that, we've still had a great amount of kids come in every class. We've been in mine and Amber's garage, the youth have been, and that's been great. Y'all played an awesome game last night.
Oh, yeah.
Y'all had a blast with. I think we're going to try to play that again tonight along with the water game, so don't forget to bring something you don't mind getting wet in.
Okay, just on a side note, I still say that the girls cheated last night.
No. I still say it. No. Do you have a bias? I have an unbiased.
I will stand by my thing.
You had a terrible
angle. Even if I'm wrong.
You had a terrible angle. They won with, like, I would say within half a second.
Oh, y'all. Yeah.
Like,
they, it was close.
They cheered before y'all cheered. So that I had to go by noise because I can't split my eyes and look wall-eyed at two different buckets.
Yeah.
But that was an awesome game.
Oh, yeah. That was a lot of fun.
I might give the guys redemption tonight. We'll see what happens.
All right.
We'll see what happens. But it's been a great week at VBS. It always is a great week. And tonight I'm looking forward to what we have again tonight and as we finish out tomorrow night. But it's been great. And before we get started on other things, can I plug something real quick?
Yeah, Cody? Sure. Go ahead.
It's not like a product or a company or anything. I'm actually going
to
go
ahead. This podcast is brought to you by.
Yeah, I'm going to get it pulled up on my phone real quick as we're recording. So there's a prayer walk coming up within the county that Amber's helping, that my wife Amber is helping, you know, coordinate and come up with. And I just wanted to, you know, for the people that are in this area, whether you're in Union County or whether you're 30, 45 minutes away within an hour, if you still want to come, come on. We're having a community prayer walk this Saturday. That's July 25th. From 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. at Trinity Baptist Church. If y'all don't know where Trinity Baptist Church is, you can Google it, or I can tell you the address right now. It's 2613 Concord Highway in Monroe. If you don't know what Concord Highway is, that's 601.
Yeah.
But come worship with us through song and prayer. We're going to be praying for our nation, our state, and local and school leaders, as well as unity within our country. So this isn't just for people in Monroe. This is for people all over the place.
Right.
If you've been paying attention to recent news, especially with the public school system, what they're going to do this year,
it looks
complicated. I mean, to say the least. You know, there's some ways that it could be done a little bit different, but I mean, you know, hats off to the people that are having to make these hard, hard decisions, you know?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And it's going to be a little stressful, but hopefully this is, you know, just a anomaly and one-time deal, so we'll see. But please come out to that prayer walk. We'll post about it on our social medias too.
Oh yeah.
And like I said, come on out. We'll have water and things like that. We'll be going by all the social distancing guidelines. And actually, I need some of the youth to come and volunteer. So if you're free Saturday morning, Cody, if I can spare you for 1 hour, that would be fantastic. I can even come pick you up if you'd like for me to.
I'll see what I can do.
Yeah, I appreciate it, man. But that's all. That's all I wanted to plug. So please come out to that prayer walk if y'all are able to. But you got anything else before we get started, Cody?
I think I'm good. I'm ready to get started on this double play Devo topic that we got for you guys today.
Let's do it. Hey y'all, it's Neil here. While Cody and I are sitting back, taking a little break, maybe taking a sip of water or who knows what, just want to thank y'all for listening to the podcast. We got a good show lined up today, and just wanted to let you know that if you hadn't subscribed yet, please subscribe if you're on Apple Podcasts. Follow us on Spotify, Google Podcasts, and so many more. If you want to get in touch with us and you don't see our beautiful faces every day, you can email us if that's what you're into, reverendbabble@gmail.com. We're on Twitter @reverendbabble. There's links to mine and Cody's personal Twitter accounts on that page as well. We're also on Instagram and Facebook now, @reverendbabble on Instagram, keeping it simple. And just search Reverend Babble Podcast on Facebook. Give us a like, give us a follow. If you want to talk to us, like I said, we'll talk right back. But enough of that. Let's get back to the show.
All right, and we're back. Welcome to the Double Play Devo portion of the podcast. You know, this is basically the portion of the show where we just talk about various biblical topics and ideas that we just have for the week and just topics that had an impact on us, and we just wanted to share them with y'all.
Yeah, I felt led to talk about forgiveness last week.
Yeah, you did.
And to kind of feed off of that one, you said you want to talk about redemption, right?
Yeah.
And we got a few verses, and you got a really awesome story that's in Scripture to kind of close things out during the Devo today. So, Cody, take it away, boss man.
All righty. Well, as you just said, Neil, like last episode, we talked about forgiveness and how we can forgive others and that kind of process that we go through with forgiveness. So I was thinking what topic would, you know, like obviously for this episode, and, you know, and I just kept thinking about the forgiveness topic, and I'm like, okay, so what comes after forgiveness is the restoration or the reconciliation of a friendship or a relationship once forgiveness happens.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you know, it's like how we talked about last week, we talked about forgiveness and we talked about Joseph and how he forgave his brothers.
Right.
I mean, like the actual process of Joseph forgiving his brothers, like the actual I forgive you part, like that happened really quickly.
Yeah.
But the restoration of the friendship and the relationship that he had with his brothers, I'm sure that was
exactly
a lot longer to kind of heal itself or mend itself to be at least somewhat of what it was before.
Yeah, and we've all experienced that. I mean, like we talked about last week, we have all either been wronged by somebody or we have wronged somebody.
Right.
And in either situation, the forgiveness can come, but the restoration or the mending and rebuilding of that friendship, relationship, whatever you want to call it, that can take some time too. So I love this topic. So what did you find for us today?
Well, whenever I was obviously thinking of this topic, like I tried just to find verses about how God can restore us, even though we've done wrong things, and you know, like about how we've done wrong things, and how once we ask for forgiveness from our sins, what God thinks of us and what He does with those sins once we do ask for forgiveness from Him for what we've done wrong. And a couple of verses that I found that were pretty cool was one of them was in Micah chapter 7 verses 18 and 19. I think you have that.
Yeah, this is kind of like that? A change of events. Usually I'm talking out the scripture at church and getting you to read or somebody else. So it's funny being on this side.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. So the first one that we found was in Micah chapter 7.
Right.
Starting in verse 18, it says, and I'm reading out of the New King James Version. It says, "Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He does not retain his anger forever, because he," and this is capital H, that means God,
right,
"because he delights in mercy. He will again have compassion on us and will subdue our iniquities. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea." Bam.
Right. Right. I mean, like, that's pretty that kind of, you know, that verse kind of explains
for itself. If anybody thinks God won't forgive them, you just need to open up Micah and says, you know, it talks about for all. He'll cast out all the sins. I mean, that's awesome.
Right. And that's one of the things that we can, count on is that whenever we do something wrong and we ask God for forgiveness for it, He just casts it into the sea. There's another verse, as far as the east is from the west. You know, Casting Crowns is a song about that too. But, you know, it's like, you know, but like as far as the east is from the west, it's like, it's over.
Right.
It's over and it's done with. So let's just move forward and let's just mend the relationship that we had and let's move forward to what we can do with God's help through that.
Yeah, and kind of like how we started the intro, said, you know, sometimes the forgiveness and restoration in human relationships, that takes time. But with God, that's immediate. That's just, it's simultaneous.
Oh, right.
You know, it's there. Like, I mean, it doesn't say I'll forgive you and then we'll talk about it later. You know, it's you're
right.
Forgiven. We're done. Okay. I've shown mercy on you when I could literally just strike you down if I wanted to. But He doesn't do that. And, you know, we're going to talk about a little bit of that tonight in VBS too. That kind of goes along just right. I mean, we're not going to be reading out of Micah, but it's pretty close to that. What was another verse that you found that you'd like for me to read?
Well, since you asked, one of the other verses that I found was in the book of Hebrews. So we're going all the way to the end of the New Testament
right
now.
Yeah, yeah.
So this is Hebrews chapter 8, and this is in verse 12. This is, you know, and it's a verse that's kind of similar to what we just read, but it's a little bit of a different take on it because it's obviously after Jesus came.
Right, right. And this, and we're going to start in verse 12. It says, "For I will be merciful." Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't say the chapter. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 12. It says, "For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins, their lawless deeds, and I will remember no more." So it's a huge, you know, opportunity of forgive and forget.
Oh yeah.
You know, a lot of us can forgive easy, but we'll still won't forget it.
Right. Know? Exactly.
Like, but in the human side of things, but God, He's not human. Okay. He created us and we can't make Him into who we want Him to be. He makes us into what He wants us to be. He forgives and forgets. He moves on from it. If you're serious about, you know, not doing whatever it is you were doing, if you're serious about not doing it anymore, if you're making the full 180 and walking away from it, right?
Right.
He's serious about throwing it out the window and forgetting about it. And I just said Siri, and now my phone is thinking I'm talking to Siri, and it just keeps going, going and going. Stop, Siri. Stop.
That's funny.
But yeah, absolutely. I love these two verses that you found, because it plainly says it. I will forgive all.
Right.
I will forget all. If you want to move away, I'll move right there with you. You know, we're in this together. That's awesome.
Right, for sure. And see, there's an error for sure. You know, but, you know, I was obviously, you know, like trying to find verses that kind of explain this concept really well. But, you know, how with the topic last week, we found this story of Joseph and how it relates to this topic. Well, I wanted to find a story in the Bible that relates to this topic as well.
Yeah.
And so I thought about...
And you found a pretty good one. That's all I'm gonna say.
I think I found a pretty good one too. And it's about the prodigal son.
Yeah.
And I thought it was pretty cool. I mean, like, you know, and if anyone wants to read this story for themselves, it's in Luke chapter 15, mm-hmm. verses 11 through 32.
Right.
So it's basically from verse 11 until the very end of the chapter.
Yeah,
basically. But, you know, and obviously... Both of us heard a story about the prodigal son. You know, it's about a father, and he has two sons.
Mm-hmm.
And the younger of the two sons wants his inheritance early before his father dies.
Right.
So he asks his father for his inheritance, and his father says yes, surprisingly, and gives it to him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's kind of like, wow, that's kind of...
Yeah, and then old boy bounces.
Oh, yeah.
He gone.
Oh, yeah. I mean, so he goes, you know, like to a far-off land, and he wastes all his money and spends all his money doing a bunch of not so good things with his money,
right?
You know, and eventually he just runs out of money. He runs out of his inheritance that his dad had for him. And then he ended up working for a pig farmer for a while.
Right.
And he became so hungry, he was actually tempted to eat the pig's food because he was so hungry.
That's right.
Because he was such a low place.
Yeah. I mean, he had hit rock bottom on so many levels. He was out of money. He was hungry. He probably owed some people money too, for all we know. You know, it was a dark place for that individual. Absolutely.
Oh yeah. But, you know, but then what happens after that is he heads back to his dad's house thinking, you know, worst case scenario, I can be one of my dad's servants because at least his servants have a better life than I have right
exactly.
now.
Exactly. Right.
So he heads back to his father's home, and his dad sees him from a long way off, and he runs out to him, gives him a hug, kisses him. I mean, it's a really awesome story. You know, and his dad brings him back in, and, you know, and the prodigal son says to him, I don't feel worthy to be called your son anymore.
Right.
But his dad was just like, okay, forget that. I'm going to love you. I'm going to forgive you. I'm going to forget about that. And I want you to be with me, and I
Absolutely.
Want you to be with me. And I thought that was just a really cool comparison with the topic that we had. And then when you go towards the end of the story, you know, and the father and the older son.
Yeah.
And right. And the father and the older brother are talking, and his older brother's basically like, he went off and did all these things, wasted all the money and did all the bad stuff that he did. And you're just going to act like nothing even happened.
Yeah.
I mean, you know,
because he had been there the whole time.
Right.
Yeah.
He'd been there the whole time. And I thought that it was a pretty cool comparison, because the older son is kind of how most of us act when someone wrongs us, or, you know, something like, you know, when someone wrongs us, is we don't want to forgive them for what they did because it hurt us really bad.
Sure.
And, you know, for the older son's case, he felt kind of, you know, like cheated out.
Yeah.
Because he was there the whole time, and he was being the responsible one by not wasting his money. And the younger son, the prodigal son, went out and did all the stuff that he did, but he's coming back into the fold. But the father is like God in the fact that he's willing to forgive us of all the wrong things we've done, despite all the wrong things we've done, and just forget about it and throw it, you know, like the verse of Micah, I would cast it into the sea.
Yeah.
And like the verse in Hebrews, I don't remember it anymore.
Yeah, I mean, amen. I mean, that's...
And I just thought that was a really cool comparison.
Yeah, and if you've never read this story before, or if you've never even read in Luke, I mean, we're all in different walks in our faith here. You might have just got a Bible, you know, if you're listening to this.
Oh, yeah.
But if you do have one and it's written in red, it's because Jesus is talking about this. This is a parable. This is one of Jesus' awesome parables
that
he talked about just to kind of help us human folk understand better and understand, you know, because we can't fully understand his awesomeness, his, you know, his mercy, his love. We can't never fully understand that. And another VBS play, we've talked about how we can unfold and solve some mysteries of the great mystery that God is while we're on earth. But we won't get full on answers until we get up there, you know, since we're with him in eternity in heaven. But what an awesome story. I've seen my fair share of stories that are, of prodigal sons, you know, that I've seen, you know, with my own eyes, you know, and this is just showing that, you know, God gives us all that we can ask for,
right?
All that we need. You know, we might want some things, but he gives us all we need. And we can still sometimes turn our back on him and go off and be distant from him. Even though he doesn't move, we'll be distant from him,
right?
And go off and do these awful things. And then you'll have some of these other people that are, you know, right next to him the whole time. And that's great. You know, they might venture off and still mess up, but they're never like wandered off too far.
Right.
But at the end of the day, God loves that person right beside them just as much as he loves that person that has ventured off and makes their way back.
Right, absolutely.
Because, you know, just like you said, the prodigal son figure, you know, I'm in such a terrible place here, I might as well be in a terrible place at my own father's house, you know? But just like that Corey Asbury song, you know, you don't have to be shameful here. You're in your father's house. You're back with your creator. You're back with God. And he's here with open arms. He's not here to, you know, punish you when he had every right to do so, right?
Oh, yeah.
Because you walked away from him, but he's here with open arms. He's here saying, look, if you're seriously sorry, you know, if you're seriously not going to do those things anymore, I'm here. Come back. You know, I'm here with open arms.
And right.
I love hearing that story, man. I'm glad you want to talk about that today.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, I just figured that this was a story and this was a topic that just kind of had to be discussed. I mean, because, like, the forgiveness topic, that was a very awesome topic, and it's a hard topic to discuss, and I think this topic is really hard to discuss too. But just the fact that restoration and mending the wounds of something bad that happened is a natural byproduct of forgiveness,
right?
And it just shows how awesome and how loving and merciful that God is, the fact that he's willing to just forgive us of whatever we do wrong, and he's willing to just restore that friendship that we hurt and we just did bad things to kind of strain that relationship, and he's willing to just forgive and forget it. It's really cool.
Yeah, and whether we're more like the prodigal son that wandered off and came back, or if we're more like the older brother in this story, we can learn from both sides of that.
Right.
Because we can learn that if we do venture off and realize that we have ventured off, because that's the hardest part, is really realizing, hey, you know, I'm not even close to God right now. You know, that's a really hard part to admit too. So we can either learn from that and admit that, you know, we're never too far gone, that we can always come back. I'm so glad that we can always come back. Or if we're on the other side of things, like that older brother, we need to be just as welcoming as that father was in that story.
Right.
We need to be just as welcoming, just like God is, when people come back. When people, you know, go off and have a rough life and they come back and they're serious about either getting saved for the first time or rededication, we need to be jumping for joy just like the angels in heaven are, okay? We need to let all doubt sit aside. We need to throw that out, okay? Because if God's willing to throw that, if God, the creator of the universe, the creator of every single being on this earth and every single blade of grass, grain of sand, everything that is known to us, creator of all, is willing to throw out a person's sins, a person's mistakes, and say, you know what? Forget about that. Why can't we forget about it?
Right.
You know? So that's an awesome story. Good job, Cody. Good topic, man.
Oh, well, thank you, man. I appreciate that.
Absolutely. Well, that concludes the Double Play Devo. Cody, you ready to talk some sports?
I'm ready, man.
Let's do it, man.
Hey everybody, what's going on? I hope you guys are enjoying the show. Just want to take a second just to let you guys know that if you have any prayer needs or just something on your mind, you can always contact us through our social medias. They are in the show notes in the description of this podcast. And just always wanted to let you know that that's always available. If you just want to talk to somebody, if you have any questions, just let us know. And I hope you guys are having a great day. And now back to the show.
All right. I pause because I'm making sure Cody's not going to interrupt me. All right. It's sports time. Time to update y'all on the week that was in the world of sports. This is the weekly score.
The weekly score. See, I didn't interrupt you that time.
I'm proud of you, Cody. And guess what? This is a great weekly score, but next week's weekly score, we're going to have so much more to talk about.
I know. It'll be the first week we'll actually have games to talk about.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, we've had racing, we've had MLS, we've had some other things, we've had golf, but like two major sports leagues are coming back this week.
Yeah, I know, man. I'm really happy about that. I mean, like, you know, at the time of this recording, which is on a Wednesday, opening day of baseball is tomorrow.
Tomorrow night.
I'm looking forward to seeing the Nationals beat the Yankees. At least that's what I hope will happen. For my sake as a Red Sox fan.
They can both lose for all I care. Well, if that was possible.
Well, yeah. You would as a Braves fan.
That's so right. Speaking of, before you even start about your baseball news.
Okay.
Los Bravos. That's all I got to say. That's my saying. When the Braves do something awesome, when they come in clutch, when they come from behind, Los Bravos, baby. Los Bravos.
Los Bravos.
You want to know why I'm saying Los Bravos, Cody?
Because it's Spanish for the Braves?
Well, that, but you know why I'm excited about the Braves?
Why?
I know it was only an exhibition game last night, but any time that we beat the Miami Marlins, who, you know, they're not going to experience any different this year because they play in front of nobody anyway. but we were down 8-4, I want to say, sometime last night in the eighth inning, I believe, seventh or eighth inning. We had bases loaded, and Charlie, Mr. Clutch Culperson, comes up. You know, I talked about him last week.
How yes,
he
you
had a
did,
great
yeah.
throw against the Marlins. Apparently, he just has a personal, like, you know, grudge against the Marlins. I don't know what he gets mad when he plays the Marlins. He hit one into the gap, basic clearing double, so it made it 8-7, and then we won on a walk-off from Matt Adams at the
Matt
end.
Matt Adams, of
so
all people.
So even though it was, you know, an exhibition game, we were playing a division rival, was, you know, and any time you play the Marlins and they wear uniforms that make them look like, you know, Blue Raspberry, Jolly Rancher, bubblegum wrappers, it's always great to beat the Marlins. Always great to beat the Marlins.
Oh, yeah.
So I know it's just an exhibition game, but I had Braves baseball on my TV last night.
Yeah, I know.
Once again, and they weren't playing against themselves. And they open up on Friday against the Mets on ESPN.
Against Jacob DeGrom.
Like, hey, that's fine. Let's go. Chop on, baby. Come on. We got 60 games. We gained a great player and lost a great player within a week yeah. with Yasiel Puig. But I'm ready for baseball, man. I'm so excited for baseball.
Well, Neil, I'm excited too. I'm just not as excited because my Red Sox did not win last night.
No, they did not.
We lost in the ninth inning because of our bullpen. Like,
yes.
Pretty much half of our losses last year were because of the bullpen.
Yes, you did. Yes, who was it that you played?
We played the Toronto Blue Jays.
Oh, they're not the Toronto Blue Jays. They're just the Blue Jays right now.
Well, true, because they're not playing in Toronto.
That's right. They might be the Pittsburgh Blue Jays. They might be the Buffalo Blue Jays. They might be the
Charlotte Blue Jays. That'd be kind of
interesting. They might be just Orlando Blue Jays. They might be, you know, wherever they just go, and they might split home and home. They could be Atlanta, San Diego. We're just going to call them the North America Blue Jays right yeah. now, okay?
Yeah. Yeah, but here's the thing. The Braves had a walk-off, and the Red Sox had a 8-5 lead in the ninth inning, we blew it.
In the ninth inning?
In the ninth inning.
I didn't know that much. I knew the bullpen didn't do good, though.
And we blew it in the ninth inning, yes. We were up 6-0 at one point in the game, and then we ended up losing 8-6 because the Blue Jays kept fighting back, and then they scored 3 in the ninth, mm-hmm. and then we lost at the end of the game because of our bullpen. But it's like I told you before the show, we put in our closer in the eighth inning and put someone else who had like a 4.5 ERA in the ninth inning. So I don't understand. It's not my fault.
Here, Cody, you want my soapbox? You're
no.
getting pretty upset over there.
No. I know. It's all right. No, I'm good.
And for both of us, we have to remember that was just exhibition. I got
yes,
really excited. You got really mad.
I got
but
really
it was
mad.
Still exhibition.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing, though. The Red Sox will be playing on Friday night on opening day against the Baltimore Orioles.
Yes.
Now, you would think that would be a good thing because you know, because the Orioles are like the Miami Marlins and the fact that they're not that great.
Right.
But last year against the Orioles, the Red Sox, I think either we lost the season series or we only won it by like a game or something.
Oh, really?
You know, or we won it by like a game or something because they kicked our butts last year.
Because usually they're the bottom feeders of the AL East, kind of like the Marlins are in the NL East.
Yeah, I know. And what's kind of sad is that, you know, it's like I was talking to my parents right before the Red Sox played last night against the Blue Jays, because a lot of the predictions are saying that the Blue Jays are going to finish third and the Red Sox are going to be in fourth.
Whoa.
So I was a little bit disrespected by that, but then after we lost last night, I'm like, okay, I can see the prediction a little bit. I don't want it to be that way.
So what you're saying is that Sweet Caroline won't be played that much in Fenway this year.
I'm hoping it will be, but I guess we'll have to see how it goes.
And for you Panther fans out there, you know, we are known to play Sweet Caroline when we win, right?
Yeah.
And it makes more sense for us to play it because it's Caroline, I guess. I don't know. But it's just
yes, but the Red Sox have been around longer.
True.
So we technically had it first.
Whatever. Get on with your baseball stories.
Okay. Well, Neil, in other news, and for me as a Red Sox fan, this wasn't a pleasant thing to hear.
Nope.
Because
some of your fan base was hopeful that this wouldn't happen and somebody would be coming back to Boston.
Yes. Yes, so during the 2019 to 2020 offseason, the Red Sox traded Mookie Betts and David Price to the Los Angeles Dodgers.
Yep.
I was fine with them trading David Price because he was bad.
No, he was a bust.
Yeah,
yep.
He was kind of a bust. But I was a little upset that they traded Betts, but I understood because Betts didn't want to sign a contract extension when we offered it to him. I think it was 2017 when we offered him the extension. He said no.
Do you remember how much that was for?
I think it was like 10 years and like 250-something.
Okay, yeah.
So it was a pretty...
Yeah, quarter of $1 billion.
right, yeah, I know. Well, he just signed a new 13-year, $380 million extension with the Dodgers. Now, actually, technically, it's 12 years because the first year of it is this year.
But it kind of makes sense why he turned that down in Boston now.
It does. But here's the thing, though. As far as Mookie Betts goes, I'm not mad at him because if... I were on the Los Angeles Dodgers, which have been one of the best teams in the league for the past 10 years.
Oh, yeah, and they will be this year, too.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So if I'm Mookie Betts, I'm perfectly fine with the deal. So this year, he's 27 years old, and it's for 12 years after this season. So he'll be on the Dodgers till he's 39 years old.
Wow. Yeah, unless he gets traded or something.
Unless he gets traded.
Like that.
Yeah. He gets traded, of course. But, yeah, so... So for me as a Red Sox fan, that definitely wasn't the best news to hear, but I kind of learned to lower my expectations for this season anyway. You know, but in other news, we were just talking about the Blue Jays.
Yep.
The fact that they are not allowed to play in Canada this year because the Canadian government wouldn't let them play, and they let them know that a week before the season, which is kind of weird. But anyway.
Kicked them out.
Yeah.
You deported your own baseball franchise.
Right. Yeah, I know. But anyway, so as of this recording, this morning there were talks that they were going to play in Pittsburgh. But since then, those talks have kind of come to a standstill and may not happen anymore. So,
as like within the last hour.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, within the last hour. So as of right now, the Blue Jays aren't completely sure where they're going to play this year. They mentioned something about just playing at whichever team that they're playing at their place and just playing as the home team, which I don't see that
working
out.
So complicated.
Yeah, it's very complicated.
Imagine having to pack up all the stuff every time. You know, just Braves or Red Sox, when they go on a road trip, they just take what they need for the road trip. They don't take every single thing that they have.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but with the Blue Jays, they'll have to basically relocate every time.
Yeah.
You know, then that's why I was saying they could be the Atlanta Blue Jays. They can be the Miami Blue Jays. They can be the Baltimore Blue Jays. They can be all over the place, you know. That sounds way too complicated. And you know, I got excited when I saw that there were serious talks about them coming to play in Charlotte at the Knight Stadium.
Oh, yeah.
And that would have been cool, but nobody would have been able to go watch it. You know, you probably could stand on the gate outside and you can get a pretty good view from the street out there. And, I mean, people that live right there can see it good.
But what would have been cool is you could have gotten the autographs of two sons of MLB Hall of Famers.
Yeah,
you
right.
could have gotten Vladimir Guerrero Jr.'s autograph.
And Craig Biggio's kid, right?
Craig Biggio's son, Kevin Biggio.
That's right.
You know, so like, you know, well, that's the thing, too, about the Blue Jays is I just looked at the box score for the Red Sox game while we were talking about this. The first three hitters in the Blue Jays lineup were all the rookies that they called up last year. Batting leadoff was Bo Bichette, and then it was Biggio, and then it was Vladdy Jr.
Yeah, Vlad Jr. Yeah, yeah. I mean, and wherever they go play, they need to have a home stadium.
Oh yeah,
they're not going to have a home field advantage. Period. This year. And they'll be the only team that doesn't have a true home field advantage.
Right. You know,
that stinks for them big time.
Oh yeah.
But the one that made the most sense was, why can't they just play in Buffalo? Because that's where the AAA team plays.
Right. That's where the AAA team plays.
They're not AAA team is not
owned by them
it.
Anyways.
Yeah, they're not using it. You know, they're not playing this year.
No.
So why not do that? That's close to Toronto. So I mean, you won't have fans there anyway, like I said, but at least you'll be somewhat close to your region.
Right.
The people in Buffalo go crazy for their sports team, so they might jump through some tables for the Blue Jays too, like they do with the Bills Mafia. But don't bounce around at every stadium. That's way too much. I know you got plenty of money. You're a Major League Baseball franchise, for crying out loud, but that is not very efficient with your funds and things like that. Not when, especially when you're not going to be making any off ticket sales this year, at least at the beginning, right?
Right.
But yeah, find a place to play, even if it's at Wingate University. Come play
oh,
there.
Oh man,
you know, just
oh man. If okay, here's the thing: if that were to happen, if they were to somehow do that, I would.
Oh, if they played at Wingate,
I would just leave, and I'm just going to be like. I would just leave my house, and I would be camping out there all season.
Yep.
I would just be waiting.
I'd get some serious overtime in at work for sitting there watching the baseball game. But, yeah, Blue Jays, find a home. I hope you do.
Yeah.
I've never seen a quote-unquote homeless baseball franchise before. But, you know, if they do what they've said they might do, they'll be the most relocated team in sports history.
Yeah, pretty much. All right, man. So that's pretty much it for me as far as my news. Now, I know it's pretty much been all baseball, but that will change next week.
That's right.
That will change next week because we'll have
some basketball to talk about too.
Yes, we will have some basketball to talk about next week. So I'm looking forward to that. And Neil, how about you? What do you got?
I got one little thing to throw in about baseball.
Okay, what?
You know how before all this pandemic went around and right when spring training was ramping up, everybody was wondering what were people going to do to the Astros? Right.
Right.
Were they going to, you know, start fights with them? Were they just going to bean their batters? You know, what were they going to do? What was going to happen? And, you know, before all this started, we heard all the boos, all that stuff. Did you hear about what happened with the Astros yesterday?
I didn't watch the full game, but I heard that two of their players got hit back to back.
Yeah, Altuve and Bregman got beamed. Which there's like, okay, yeah, it's been a while since we've seen you, but we didn't forget what you did. So so they need to show some forgiveness for that. Since we're talking about forgiveness and reconciliation and restoration, but I got a good laugh out of that when I saw that last night. Yeah. But that's all the baseball stuff I have.
Okay, I promise I'll say this and then I'll be done. But something funny about that is I went on Twitter and they showed that on, like, I think it was either ESPN's Twitter or SportsCenter's Twitter. And then I looked at the comments. Alex Bregman literally went in the comments and said, it was a 1-2 changeup. Get over it.
Oh, goodness gracious.
Yeah, it was a 1-2 changeup. Quit showing these videos.
Somebody's salty. Aren't they?
That just kind of made me laugh that Alex Bregman just went and commented about that.
That is pretty
funny. About a Twitter post of him getting hit by a baseball. That was pretty funny.
That's funny. Well, next thing I got up is NASCAR. We had two races to catch up and talk about. We had two races. We had the All-Star race last Wednesday in Bristol.
Right.
And then we had the, I think it was the O'Reilly Auto Parts 500 at Texas.
Ow!
Yeah. O'Reilly. That's right. Good job, Cody. So we had two races to catch up on. The first one, let's talk about the All-Star race. Did you watch any kind of highlights? Did you see any of it,
I did not, no.
Come on, man.
I know.
I talk about NASCAR every week on this show.
I know that you guys are disappointed in me. I'm sorry.
Come on, man. Come on. But anyway.
Okay, well, hey, I did watch the highlights of the race for the race we talked about last week, the one with Cole Custer.
You did watch that?
Yes.
Well, guess what?
What?
That's last week. Don't matter.
I know.
Come on, man.
I know, but at least watch
keep digging.
Some of it.
Keep digging.
Okay.
Keep digging. You done digging?
Yes.
All right, I'll pull you out of the hole in just a minute. All right, so I want to talk about the All-Star race since you didn't watch it. We had some very interesting car designs. And the All-Star race this year. Did you at least see that?
Yes.
Okay, good job, Cody. Everybody say good job, Cody. He actually knows that NASCAR exists. Okay,
I know NASCAR exists.
That's
good.
So they always test out stuff for the All-Star race, whether it's a different body style, different kind of spoiler, different kind of rules package. They always test something out at the All-Star race. They test out two different things this year. Well, three. First, they moved it from Charlotte to Bristol because they knew they could sell some tickets at Bristol. But, you know, with Charlotte being a hot spot when it was back then, nobody was going to be able to be at the race.
Right.
So they had, I want to say, right under 25,000 people at that race.
Oh, wow.
Which is a lot of people, but compared to what Bristol usually is, that's nothing because Bristol can hold over 100,000 people easily.
Oh, wow.
It's a huge place. So they had people at the race, so you got to hear people cheering, which was awesome to hear. The second thing that they tested out was moving the numbers on the side of the car back.
Right.
So, you know,
they moved it back so it could have more room for sponsors.
Yeah. So, you know, usually the number's right on the door, you know.
Right.
But they didn't change the size of it. It didn't look like it changed the size of it too much. But they scooted it back closer to the wheel. It still stayed on that side of the car in front of the wheel, but it kind of scooted back towards the back wheel just so they could have more room for ads. That didn't look terrible. I was okay with that. If they plan on doing that next few years, fine, whatever. Just as long as you don't change the size of the number, because when I think of a certain driver, I think of their number. I don't think of what sponsor they have, because their sponsors change weekly. I mean, I know, like, Joey Logano, he can one week be racing for AAA, and one it'll be Shell Penzoils. I mean, you need to look for the number, not the ad, especially now, like I said, since they can change on a weekly basis. I was cool with that. The one that I didn't like was the underglow.
Right.
That neon, whatever you want to call it.
Right. It was, like, all the lights underneath.
Yeah, it was so overhyped, okay? They tested it out last year at the end of the season in Nashville. They have a thing called Burnout on the Boulevard. It's during their, like, award show and things like that, where they had a couple cars go out on streets of Nashville. So they had stock cars on the actual road, which is pretty cool to think about.
That is kind of cool.
Kurt Busch, his car, he races for Monster Energy. So his car is black and got the green Monster stuff all over it.
Right.
And he had lime green glow up under all around his car,
right,
which
all around
looked
it.
Sweet.
Oh, yeah.
And when he did the burnouts, it looked even cooler, right, because the smoke was glowing green because of the lights.
Right.
So that's what everybody thought this underglow was.
Yeah, it's like, oh, wow,
like,
this is going to look cool.
This is going to look sweet. You know, like, Kurt Busch is going to be green. Logano's will be red. Other people's, it could be, Jimmy Johnson's will be purple, you know, things like that. No. You know what they did, Cody? They had, like, three little light bulbs up under the bumper.
Right.
And there was three different colors to choose from based off your manufacturer. So Fords were blue, Toyotas were red, and Chevrolets were like an amber orangey color, which, you know, to be a test, it was all right, but it what you hyped it up to be, and then what it ended up being, that was pitiful. I listened to Dale Earnhardt Jr.'s podcast while I'm at work. He puts one out every week too, and he talked about it today and said, you know, maybe there was something where they had hoped for it to look like what they did on the Burnout on the Boulevard. And then, you know, they started talking to, like, the engineers and people that build the cars, and maybe they weren't willing to give up enough electricity, enough amps to put towards lights when they could put it towards powering the engine faster,
right,
you know? So maybe it was something like that. I don't know. Either way, if it's going to look like that, don't do it ever again. If it looks like what it looked like on the Boulevard,
oh yeah,
try it again. That would look sweet. Try it on an asphalt track where it would actually reflect better, not concrete like it is at Bristol. But that was my only complaint about it. I didn't care for the lights. But Chase Elliott won. He's been on a tear. He owned that race, and I think this season's really his coming out season. I mean, I won't say that he's my favorite driver, but I do enjoy watching him race. And that night, he made his team $1 million richer, because the All-Star race, the winner gets $1 million to split between his team.
Okay, well, I have a question for you about that. I saw your post on Twitter. I saw you when you tagged him on Twitter, and you asked him for his donation for your Bronco. Did he say yes or no?
Maybe let's just say the payment is pending.
Okay.
I hadn't got a no yet.
Oh, well, hey.
But I figure, you know, hey, he won $1 million. He could spare, what, 35 grand?
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
That's just chump change. I asked Pat Mahomes, too. Now I'm going to tweet at Mookie Betts this afternoon, too, just to see what happens. You never know.
That's true.
So, I mean, if you're willing, I'm willing to take it if you're willing to give it. That's all I'm going to say. Moving on to the next race, the race at Texas this past week. Texas is it's very similar to Charlotte Motor Speedway in the way it's built.
Right.
So you get a very similar race that you would get for the Coke 600, which is what I'm used to, because that's the only race I've really been to and really, you know, enjoyed it and understood what was going on, you know. But we had a different winner this week. We didn't have – it wasn't Chase Elliott. It wasn't Denny Hamlin. It wasn't Kevin Harvick. The number three car was back in victory lane. Austin Dillon has won. He won the race this Sunday. You know there was such big controversy right when Dillon came up in the ranks because he got the three car.
Right.
You know, because people were like, that should have been retired. But I don't think there is a retired number in NASCAR. But people thought that Dale Earnhardt should have been the first one to be retired.
All right.
But Richard Childress, he owns the rights to that number, so he could do whatever he wanted to with it. You know, Dale Earnhardt didn't own that number. He raced for a team, and that team owner owns that number. And he gave it to his grandson. Austin Dillon, his grandpa is the owner. He's Richard Childress, is the owner of that race team. And for years, he's just kind of been at the back of the pack, you know, just kind of runs about into late teens, early 20s, maybe even further back.
Yeah.
But he timed it just right this week. He won. When you win during the regular season, you get an automatic stamp into the playoffs. You don't have to get in by your points. So if you win, you're in. You're in the playoffs. So now he has a chance to compete for the NASCAR Cup Championship, which is awesome for him. And if he's one of those wild cards where he has a serious shot of winning because he's in.
Oh, yeah.
Now, as the playoffs start later on, you know, you'll have to have a certain amount of points to stay alive, right? Because they can't really do a bracket or things like that. But I mean, go win it, Austin. That's awesome. And I mean, I'm sure people love seeing the three car back on victory lane.
Oh yeah.
Whether
totally.
You think that he should have number three or it should have been retired for Dale, but, that was awesome to see. So great, both great races. The All-Star race is always a short race. It needs to be a little bit longer, especially at a short track, because the last segment of that race was only like 15 laps and goes by so fast at Bristol because, I mean, they can get around that track in like 18 seconds. So, I mean, that goes by really quick. But good second race at Texas as well, for sure.
Oh, no, you said for sure.
That's okay. I'm used to it by now, Cody. You've already rubbed off on me. And, I mean, 10 episodes in, I'm surprised I'm not saying it more than you now.
Well.
But I wanted to say I'm excited about basketball starting back. I know the Hornets aren't in it, but that's okay.
Oh, yeah, that's fine with me.
That's fine. But they had zero positive COVID tests this past week.
Which is definitely good.
Which is great because, you know, they've had some other issues going on within their quote-unquote bubble, you know.
Yeah.
But they had zero positive tests. That means it's great. That means they're ready to hit the ground running. That's going to be exciting, you know. It's going to be weird. No fans, of course, but it's going to be exciting nonetheless. But that's all I want to say about basketball real quick. Guess what, Cody?
What?
You were looking at a diehard soccer fan. Did you know that?
I didn't know. I did not know that.
As of my lunch break today.
As of your lunch break? Okay, sir, for about 3 hours?
Yeah, right about 3.5 hours. Okay. I have been a diehard fan of Charlotte FC.
Oh, yeah.
So the Charlotte MLS team, that was been announced for a while, how we were going to get an MLS expansion team, right?
Right.
And then it came out that, you know, they hadn't really, due to all the coronavirus or everything, they're not going to be ready to play in 2021. So they're going to start in 2022. But today they came out with their name and their colors. And, you know, there were some other names that were on the board that, I mean, all those sounded cool. Some of them were better than others, but I'm perfectly fine with Charlotte FC. I think that's what you say. It can be CFC.
Oh, yeah.
I saw they have one logo that's CLT FC. So they didn't mess up like the Hornets and go CHA because we're not CHA.
Yeah.
but they got the Panther colors. That looks awesome.
Ooh, that
which
looks
which
very
is,
nice.
You know, appropriate because they're going to be playing at Bank of America Stadium.
Right.
And they're owned by David Tepper, too. So we've already got one player. Okay, I can't tell you his name. Okay, I not that I can't pronounce it. I don't remember it. But you know, I'm a hardcore soccer fan here. But I'm just kidding. I've watched it here and there. I've never really watched MLS, but I will definitely pay attention to it now, especially starting 2022.
I'm pretty sure that the most soccer I've ever watched was the U.S. Women's National Championship.
Yeah, that's same.
And I probably watched like the first half, and then I was done.
Yeah, same here. Absolutely. But I'm excited for us having a team. I will definitely support the team when I can.
Oh, yeah.
Hopefully go to a couple games, especially when they play like the Galaxy or things like that. And, of course, we're going to have to be rivals with Atlanta's team. You know, I like the Braves, so that's the only thing in Atlanta that I care for. You know, Falcons, get out of here. Hawks, come on, get out of here. But now Atlanta United, you're on my rivals list, okay? Uh-oh. I didn't have a reason to not like you. Now I do.
Yeah,
all right?
It's like, okay.
CLT football
have a reason to have a
for life, baby. Let's go.
Rivalry.
And people are scrutinizing the logo because it's just a simple crown. I like it. I like simplicity in logos.
Oh, yeah, same.
And it looks like a soccer logo. What did you expect for it to be?
Yeah, okay? I know.
And people around here are used to having a mascot, I guess. I'm sure they'll have some kind of mascot on the field, you know?
Yeah.
But I'm excited.
Maybe they'll have a Serper wearing like a soccer jersey or something.
I'll bet there'll be some Panther and Charlotte Football Club crossovers for sure, especially with, you know, Tepper owning both teams.
Oh, yeah.
But that's awesome to see. And as we close out the show, I got one more thing that I just happened to see on Twitter the other day. You know, everybody's kind of curious about what is the NFL going to be doing about the whole COVID situation, you know?
Right.
Because the only thing we've had so far is no jersey swaps. And, you know, yeah. Hey, let's go out and breathe and spit on each other and sweat on each other and tackle each other for 3 hours, but don't you dare swap jerseys at the end because, you know, all the COVID just stays on your jersey. You know, that's obviously. But there's been no official statement, been no official announcement, but there were some leaked photos of Christian McCaffrey just doing some exercises and some drills with just as, I mean, he didn't have full pads. He had a helmet on. They had a Panthers helmet on. And sometimes McCaffrey wears a clear visor. Sometimes he doesn't, depending on where he's at. But this time, he had on a visor that went from his eyes down to the bottom of his face mask. It was like a face shield almost.
Yeah.
And it had some like vents for him to breathe and things like that. But that's like the first sight of, hey, is this something that every player is going to have to wear?
Right.
You know,
yeah.
Because we saw a rendering of a Bears helmet that looked like a solid navy blue face mask, which I was like, okay, we're going to have people passing out left and right because they can't breathe. It's hard to breathe in a football helmet anyway, let alone let's make a solid face mask.
Right.
Know? But it's going to be interesting. We'll post those pictures on our social media too.
Oh yeah.
But that was interesting to see because I mean I hope we get football. I doubt we're going to get college football this year.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
probably going to be in the spring. But I could spend another half hour talking about that, but I'm not going to since we're pushing the hour already anyway. But that's all I have, Cody. You got anything else?
Something pretty funny that I saw as I saw like a little 45-second video on Twitter of Tyreek Hill and Terrell Owens doing a 40-yard dash
race.
Oh,
really? I hadn't seen that.
Yeah, well, what happened was is that Terrell Owens won, but he had like a 10-yard head start.
Oh, okay. I was about to say, what? Okay.
Yeah.
That didn't make any sense at first. So.
Yeah. Yes. So everyone was like, you know, getting excited because, you know, like Terrell Owens beat Tyreek Hill. I'm like, dude, he had a head start. That's
well,
not fair.
Yeah. And I'm sure T.O. was talking like he didn't have a head start.
Oh,
too.
Yeah.
I'm sure he
– Oh, trust me, he was.
Yeah, because, I mean, He might have lost some speed. He might have lost, you know, with age and everything.
He ain't lost his ego.
He ain't lost the ego. And that's just T.O. for you, man. That's hilarious.
Oh, yeah.
That's awesome. Well, with that being said, y'all, that's our show. I'm going to get on up out of here and get ready for VBS. I came straight here from working out in the heat, so I'm going to go home and take a couple deep breaths. And then I'll see you at church tonight, Cody. Y'all have a good night. Y'all have a good rest of your week. Social media handles are on the show notes, and you heard it in the breaks as well. Talk to us. We're here to talk back. Y'all have a good week. Bye.